Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, shalom. What's going on? We back again. You already know each and every week, you know the phrase, it's going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. I'm your host, Side, and we're still on the way. Hey, man, you already know we got some fire lined up for today, for the Shabbat. We got some fire lined up for today. So if you got your notes, if you got your scriptures, man, get ready, man. So we ain't going to too much debate. We're just going to get right into it. So let's approach the Father. Father Yahuwah, in Yahushua Mashiach's name, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for another day. We thank you for waking us up today and another Sabbath that we get to just study your word and your scriptures. Father, we pray that we would decrease your word and increase. Father, that you would speak to us and show us what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere to be prepared for what is coming upon this world. Prepare our hearts and minds from the coming deception, and so we'd be able to tell our families, our co-workers, our friends, anybody, that anything that would help lead them to your son, Yahushua, the Messiah, for the redemption of our sins. And we thank you. And we just pray that you would show us great and awesome mighty things that we don't know in your Torah. And we speak, and the Ruach would speak to that. Yahushua the Messiah's name, we pray, so be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, we're trying to see where it started. You know, last week we talked about, we talked about the Pentecost versus the false Pentecost and how there was going to be two, you know, different things. And so we're going to get into that in just a second. But, you know, we got some news. We don't have too much news going on from the area of Israel, but we, you know, of the so-called Israel and the land over there. But we're going to talk about some things over there, scriptural. You know, you had the biggest thing this week, you know, the Obama, you know, kind of justifying the gay marriage. And, you know, you got that going on. You still have the, you know, the Occupy movement thing has kind of blown over, you know, for this month. And you got that going on. So, it's still some things brewing. We talked about last week, we talked about and the week before, we talked about the contactless system with the Olympics. We were talking about how they're beginning to roll out the system for the mark of the beast. And this lesson, this topic we're going to talk about, man, I'm telling you, it's going to be fire, man. Because we're talking about the mark of the beast. We're talking about the end of this age. We're talking about the last 7 years coming up very soon. And we're talking about that. We talked about how they're doing in London and how they're rolling out. And this is called the Olympics. It's actually called, they're actually, you know, deeming it as, you can look it up, the contactless event, you know, where they have the machines. They have them here in the U.S. I did some researching, and there's a couple million merchants now in the U.S., which the U.S. is kind of actually behind on the movement, on the contactless movement. You know, so says, you know, the vice president. And they're saying from this summer, the contactless system, in which we talked about, is going to push forward from the mark of the beast, is taking place. And they said it's going to spread throughout the whole world. And I did some research, and they're saying it's a couple million merchants now that are, you know, changing to the system. You have people like McDonald's, Target, all the grocery stores, you know, Walgreens, all these American stores now are changed to this system. And what you have now, they have the, you know, Chase calls it the Blink system, or in American Express has a different system, but it's all the same thing, in which you can basically just wave your card and you can continue to go on. And one of the things that the Visa president was saying is that it will allow, you know, it will allow faster consumer lines, you know, especially, you know, especially in fast food, you know, people will be able to, you know, get the order, wave the card, and keep going, you know, and it speeds up the line, you know, nobody's writing checks and all these things. And so these things were, you know, they're trying to take out, you know, the cash system and all these things to make, you know, it consume. So what's going to happen is the marketing beast is going to look, you begin to see this, it's going to look kind of marketable. You know, they're going to say, oh, you know, it's going to get the end of the line. And so once they have all the systems in place, in which they have the cards where you can wave now and just print your receipt, it's going to go to the step where when the false prophet, you know, actually, we're going to talk about this later, man. I'm telling you, this is fire, man. We're going to talk about this later. When they actually implement this, all you have to do is wave your hand to, you know, to pay, you know, at these merchants. And they already have these machines that they're setting up. You have to pay, you know, wave your hand to pay, you know, for these merchants to pay, and with your, because now what they're saying is they're converting, just like how they did digital TV, they're converting all the merchants like McDonald's, and they're starting to carry these systems. And research is showing that, you know, the research that I was doing is that at the end of 2012, I mean, it's going to be millions and millions of merchants carrying this. And banks are also, I think, HBSC, I think, were one of the banks. A lot of banks are beginning to transfer to the system because they're saying it's better for, you know, consumers and turnover. And they'll use these words, you know, and all these things to cloak, you know, what the Rothschild plan was, and to have everybody's, you know, finances, like Revelation 13, on one card, you know, so they can control buying and selling. And so that's what you have. I mean, the research is showing that in America they have millions of merchants, and they're growing every day, steadily growing. And they said from this summer it's going to be a boom. You know, it's going to be a boom, an explosion in these things. I was just in, you know, Walgreens. They just installed the system where you can wave now, and it's an invention. Because what they're saying is, I kind of seen ahead of it, and what they're saying is, was eventually when all the systems go to it and the banks go to it, and everybody's required to, you know, have the contactless system, then the contactless card in which you just wave and you pay, then it's going to be a thing of identity theft. It's going to be a thing of identity theft, and, you know, oh, you know, how can you be sure, you know, identity theft, and to combat that, you know, they're going to move into a thing where it's in the skin, it's under the skin. Because a lot of people think, oh, well, all deception is going to be blatant, like, oh, this, you know, they somehow think, you know, somebody's going to come out and say, this is the mark of the meat, you know, take it. And the false prophet is going to say, take the mark. I mean, you already know, people in the truth, you already know deception really doesn't work like that. You know what I'm saying? Deception, because the scripture says that Hasatan masquerades like a messenger of light. So a messenger of light, you know, it seems righteous. It seems, oh yeah, this is the way to do it. But it's deception. So a lot of people think it's going to be so blatant, and a lot of Christians, that's why a lot of Christians have been deceived, because they actually think that they're going to know who the Son of Perdition is when they worship Him already. You know, it's a grand trick of deception where it's not too. It's subtle. It's not just blatant. And so that's how the mark of the beast is going to be at first. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be subtle. You know, these things are subtle because they don't want to upset the masses. So that's how deception is. It's subtle. You know, you that's why you have these pastors up there, these people that look like they're doing righteousness. They're even using the scriptures, but you know, it's deception. Even when Yahushua was in the garden and Hashatan came against him, he tried to use scriptures, messenger of light. He tried to use scriptures to battle against Yahushua, but he twisted them. You know, so these things are, you know, trickery. You know, these things, their system they're using this language like consumer and all these things. And they're going to try to ease it on the world, you know, and ease it onto the world until somebody basically blows their cover, you know, and that's how it goes like that. But this is very interesting, man. I'm telling you, these things are coming close to home, man, and they're getting ready to where it's getting to the point where, you know, they're setting it up. And so we really want to get into what we're talking about, man, because we want to talk about the last 7 years of this age, man. And I'm telling you, man, this is fire. Because I don't know if you ever looked into this, man, but we're going to kind of break it down. And but before we get into that, it's kind of an interesting thing. Like we were talking about last week about the Pentecost. You had the real Pentecost is going to be the gathering, the set apart first fruits, 144,000, Yahuwah, you know, picking the fruits off the tree first, and then you have the false gathering with the, you know, Christians and the Muslims and the Jews. And this is a very interesting, some keys, this is what we're talking about today, it's some keys in the end times that people have to understand. Number one, we're going to talk about in a minute, is understanding who the people of the scriptures are. Because if you don't understand that, a lot of scriptural prophecy will be thrown off and you won't understand it. Number two is understanding the coming of the two witnesses. This is another man. Who would you show me this just a little bit earlier? Is the importance of understanding the coming of Hanak and Eliyahu. Because a lot of people will be deceived, even because people don't know, there's two major players also in Revelations. You have the beast, which is the anti-Messiah, and the false prophet. Now, two people, right? And they are in league with each other. They are in league with each other. They back one another. They are in league with each other, and they probably will be in close vicinity of each other. Now, this is very interesting, because a lot of people, a lot of Christians will believe when they know the theology of the revelations, the two people coming, and so they, you know, it's two ways to look at it. Because if you don't accept the testimony of Enoch and Eliyahu, a lot of these Christians and a lot of people who are deceived will actually believe that these two people could be the anti-Messiah and the false prophet. They could be actually believe Eliyahu and Enoch are the anti-Messiah and the false prophet, the two figures that come. And on the other end, people who are in the truth, they will know, hey, these are two witnesses, and they will know that the Pope and possibly, you know, Maitreya, anti-Messiah, JC, are the two players mentioned in Revelations. So it's two ways to look at things, and a lot of things ain't clear. So that's why people got to understand, hey, man, coming under two witnesses, who they are, what are actually their names, you know. And what time period in 7 years are they coming? Understand these things, because a lot of people will say, hey, you know, they will hear this testimony, and they will be bearing a witness of about Yahushua, about Yahuwah, and how people look at us in the truth, you know, proclaiming the true names of the Father and the Son and keeping the commandments and doing these things and prophesying against the Catholic, the churches and stuff like that. They will look at us like, you know, We're you know, you know how they look at you. They will look at you like you are the devil. You know what I'm saying? You look at them like you're the devil. So it's you know, so that's two major things that people got to understand. What we want to talk about right now, this is very interesting. When you go to Daniel, if you have your scriptures, go to Daniel 9. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Now, I mean, this is very interesting right here. This is very interesting right here. Daniel 9:27. It says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. In the middle of the week, he shall put an end to the slaughtering and meal offering. On the wing of the abominations, he shall lay waste until the complete end of which is decreed is poured out on the one who lays waste. Now, this is very interesting. Shout outs to my wife out there. She came across some information that they are actually doing the sacrifices. I'm talking about the Ashkenazi Jews, the synagogue of Satan, Hashatan, are actually doing, are starting to do the, you know, without even the temple, they're starting to do the sacrifice. Now, this is going to get so interesting, man. This is so interesting, man. This is so deep. Okay. Now, when you start looking at the Hebrew, it says, and he, okay, we're going to talk about who that he is, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Okay? Now, that word in Hebrew, beret, means covenant. Rabbahim means many. Or so as all who are many. So whoever he is will confirm some kind of covenant. Will confirm now. So the word we can break it down right here, but confirm, that means establish again or reconfirm a covenant with many for 1 week. So we know, just give you a recap, the prophecy that he gave. Daniel understood the prophecy of Jeremiah. The prophecy of Jeremiah was, you know, that, you know, Yehuda and Yisrael will be in Babylon for 70 years. And then Yahuwah gave Daniel a greater revelation of the 70-year prophecy, and it was 70 weeks of seven. Seven times seven is 490 years, and 483 years of this prophecy has been fulfilled, and there has been a gap since this prophecy has been fulfilled, you know, for about 2,000 years, and we're waiting for the completion of this last verse, these last 7 years, to begin when this person makes this covenant. Man, this is so important, man. This is so important because this, I mean, you're talking about understanding the end times. Okay, so now, this word is very interesting. Okay, now, let's go back to Genesis 12. Let's go to Genesis 12. Now, some key things you got to understand is that what we just talked about. The first thing is understanding who the people are. And number two, understanding about the two players. There's two sides to it. You have that's why they say it's two sides to every story. You have or three sides because you have one side of you, but you have the two witnesses, Enoch and Eliyahu, and you have the beast and the false prophet, the anti-Messiah, and the false prophet. Okay? Now, Daniel 9:27 said, he shall confirm a covenant. Okay? Meaning, i.e., the false prophet, anti-Messiah, confirm a covenant with many. Okay, now we're going to talk about a covenant. We're going to talk about how there's a great deception. And now we're going to understand, you're going to understand who the people are and understand what the covenant and what this person is actually trying to confirm but actually doing it in falsehood. Now when you go to Genesis 12:1, it says, or Bereshit 12:1, it says, and Yahuwah said to Abram, go yourself out of your land from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. I shall make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and so that you shall be a blessing. I shall bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the clans of the earth shall be blessed. Okay. Now we're gonna skip to Genesis 13:15. Genesis 13:14 asks, it says, and after Lot had separated from him, Yahuwah said to Abram, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I shall give to you and your seed forever. Okay? I'm going to keep reading this. And it says, and I shall make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could count the dust of the earth, then your seed also be counted. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I have given it to you. Okay? Now, go to chapter 15 of Bereshit, Genesis. Chapter 15, verse 18. Now, this is where it gets important, because remember Daniel 9:27, but we're going to connect the two and we'll see what's going on. It said, Bereshit 15:18. On the same day, Yahuwah made a covenant with Abram, saying, I have given this land to your seed from the river of the Mizraim, or Egypt, to the great river, the river Euphrates, with the Canaanite, the Ezraite, the Ammonite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Rephaim, the Amorite, the Canaanite, and the Geshemite, and the Yesubite. Okay? Now, all right, now go to chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. And I shall establish my covenant between me and you and your seed and after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be the Elohim to you and your seed after you. And I shall give to you and your seed after you the land of your sojourners and the land of Canaan in everlasting possession. I shall be their Elohim. Okay? Now, this is where we get into. Yahuwah, we're going to recap what we just read. Yahuwah told Abraham that to his seed, you know, his seed was Yahusha, you know, and through Yahusha, you know, he's talking about his seeds. Okay? Now, we know, fast forward all the way to Revelations, that it talks about it was 144,000, then it was a number that Yahuwah not seen that no man could number. So we know that prophecy going to be fulfilled. We know that prophecy going to be fulfilled because what did Yahusha say? What did Yahuwah say? He said that I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if man could count the dust of the earth, then your seed also could be counted. Now, what did Yahuwah not say? Let's fast forward all the way from Bereshit to Revelations. What did Yahuwah not see? The fulfillment of this prophecy right here in Revelations chapter 7, verse 9. And I looked and I saw a great crowd which no one was able to count, out of all the nations, tribes, tongues, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne and the Lamb, dressed in white robes with palm branches in the hand. So that's the fulfillment of that prophecy. So this event is still to happen in the future. So these are people coming out of the Great Tribulation, which is 3.5 years in the future, which is a number that nobody could count. And this is a prophecy that he gave Abraham way back then. Okay? But understand this, that Yahuwah gave Abram, later be called Abraham, father of the nations, okay, that he gave him his seed and his seeds that possession of the land from the he made a covenant with him that he gave him that seed, your seed, the river of the Mizraim to the river Euphrates. All that land over in the Middle East, all that land in the Middle East, he made a covenant with him and his people and his seeds. His seed and his seeds. And through Yahusha, you know, we enter that covenant in which that promise is now ours. Okay? But you have to understand this. You cannot have possession of this covenant, no matter if you say you're a descendant of Hebrew, you're a descendant of, you know, you're a tribe this, you're a tribe of Benjamin, Yehuda, Levite, whatever tribe you proclaim. If you don't accept Abraham's seed, Yahushua the Messiah, born of a woman, existed before Abraham, came out forth of the Father, of the Father's bosom, out of the Father's essence, the Ruach, only begotten of the Father, who came into this world. If you don't accept Yahushua the Messiah, then you have no part of that covenant. That's what you have to understand first. Yahushua the Messiah, not JC, not Yeshua, not any other name. Yahushua the Messiah, you have to accept him and turn from our sins and keep the Torah. Okay? Keep his instructions. Love him with all our heart, all our sign, all our mind, all our soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and keep, you know, the testimony of Yahushua and keep the commandments of Yahushua. Now, this is where it gets tricky, is understanding who the people are. That's number one, how you can even have part of the covenant. Now, we want to go back in history now. Because I think, what's today? Today is, in the Gregorian calendar, I think it's, you know, May 13th or May 4th, you know, May 13th or something like that. So tomorrow is what they call May 14th. Now, we're going to rewind all the way in. We're going to rewind a little bit, okay? May 14th, 1948, Tel Aviv, Jewish Agency Chairman David Ben Gurion proclaims the State of Israel, establishing the first Jewish state in 2,000 years. At an afternoon ceremony in Tel Aviv at the Art Museum, this is in 1948, this guy, David Ben Gurion, said, "We hereby proclaim the establishment of the Jewish state in Palestine to be called Israel." Okay, now what happened then is a quick history lesson. After World War I, the British had control of what we just talked about, that land that Yahuwah said that was given into the seed, into the seeds of Abraham, which means basically the people who would proclaim the testimony of Yahushua and keep the commandments of Yahuwah, that land was given unto them, okay? Back then, the British had control of this land, from the Great River Euphrates all the way to Mizraim, Egypt. They had control of this land after World War I, and they had a mandate on it, okay? So after this, around this time, 1948, the British actually pulled back their mandate. They pulled back their mandate. The United States recognized the Ashkenazi Jews' state, and the British withdrew their mandate. So at midnight, the State of Israel officially became a state, a sovereign state, by the termination of the British mandate in the land of Palestine, because they had some of the portions of the land, but once the British withdrew their mandate, it gave straight claim to the Jews. Okay, so when the Jews withdrew their mandate, so they basically proclaimed it. It was recognized by, you know, it ended up being recognized by, you know, the United Nations and all these things. So they officially had it. They officially, so-called, had a state. And so the basic claim, when you begin to look and do your research into this, is the Ashkenazi Jews, who, number one, this is what we got to understand. We talked about a couple weeks ago that they never, ever lived in that land. Because the biggest lie is that they lived in this land and they came back to this land. Okay? The Ashkenazi Jews, what we talked about, it's even in Genesis. It's even in Genesis when you talked about we talked about one time, and we should go over it again. We should pause right now and go over it again. Okay, when you go to Genesis chapter 10, and it says, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons were born to him after the flood. And the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Meda, Yemen, Tabu, Ashken, and Tarez. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Japheth, Yeret, and Togum. Now, I'll say, I think the number is like 90%. I think it's around 90%. 90%, I don't quote me, but I think around 90% of the people who claim themselves to be Jews or Orthodox, you know, Jews, or Ashkenazi, descendant of the Ashkenazi Jew, okay, who are basically the main people who Netanyahu represents for claiming that they have claim to the right of Mizraim to the great river Euphrates because of the covenant in which Yahuwah gave to Abraham. That's what their claim is. Their claim is that they have right to that land from Mizraim because they're his seeds. So they have claim to that land. And a lot of the people say that prophecies were fulfilled in May 14, 1948 when the British withdrew their mandate, because now they began to get claim back to that land. But scripture, simple reading of scripture shows you right here, okay, that number one, if we want to talk about the records of genealogy, the actual descendants who would become, who would have entitlement to that land were the sons of Shem. We actually know that, you know, Shem, I have to look more into it, but actually I believe Shem was actually taught, you know, Abraham. I believe he was actually related to, I don't know if he was his grandfather or everything. But right here, it says that the sons of Gomer was Ashkenaz, which are the majority of the Jews in the land who proclaim and said they have rights to land. Now, this gets very interesting because when we read the prophecy of Ezekiel, it said that he was going to destroy these descendants of the Ashkenaz and the Magog and all these other descendants. So how could he give them something and then say he's going to destroy it? Yahuwah says a lot of times that he would never do away with he would never destroy his people, his nation. He would never destroy them. So how does it say he's going to destroy them? And if you don't believe me, go to Ezekiel, because we went over this one time before. It says, look, Ezekiel 38. It says, and the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying, son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, the prince of Rush, Meshach, Tubu, the prophecy is against him. And say to him, thus says the master Yahuwah, see, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rush, Meshach, and Tabu. And I shall turn around you, and I shall put hooks into your jaws, and shall lead you out all your armies, horses, horsemen, clad perfectly, a great assembly, and armor and shields, and all their hands together. Persia, Cush, and put with them all together, all the shields and helmets. Gomer and all its bands, the house of Tamar, and far as the north, and all the bands, many peoples with you. Be ready, prepare yourself, you and your assemblies that are assembled unto you, and shall be guard. Okay. Now, so it goes on later to say, okay, so he said his face was Yahuwah, Ezekiel, Yahuwah gave Ezekiel the prophecy to set his face against Gog and Magog, the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, 90% of the Ashkenaz living, okay, so we're connecting the dots. Everything's connected, okay? And that prophecy right there in Ezekiel was talking about actually the battle they call the Armageddon. You know what I'm saying? The Battle of Armageddon, which is basically the forces of evil versus the forces of good. Okay? So he said, Yahuwah said that he's going to make them, he's going to band them all together. He's going to put a hook in their jaws and carry them out and bring them out, basically to fight against Yahushua. Okay? The sons of Ashkenaz, Gomer. Okay? So, right here, okay, this is basic knowledge that a lot of people know. Is what you have here, May 14th, 1948, you have the people proclaim themselves to be Yahudim, but are not, but do lie, but are the synagogue of Satan, synagogue of Hasatan. So 1948, all this happened, they say that, hey, we have the right to the land of from Mizraim and to the great river Euphrates, Palestine, all that, all this land because of the covenant in which Yahuwah gave to his seed and the seeds of Abraham, and they say we fulfilled this prophecy, this, and we know the scriptures just said it didn't. They don't. Okay, even from the scriptures, not even going too much into all this, even from the scriptures, that they don't. Okay, now this is where it gets important is understanding this. Going back to Daniel 9:27. Let's go back to Daniel 9:27. So Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm a covenant with many, Rabbaim, for 1 week. In the middle of the week, he shall put an end to the slaughterings and the meal offerings. Okay, let's pause there. Now, we just talked about, how my wife, you know, she found some information about how the Ashkenazi Jews, the sons of Gomer, are actually now doing and beginning to do meal offerings, slaughter offerings, and different things like that. And they did it on the past Pesach, you know, and they're doing it, you know, even though without the temple up. Now, the true sons of Abraham, the seed of who proclaim the seed of Abraham and are the seeds of Abraham, we know that Yahushua came and fulfilled the sacrificial offerings and slaughter offerings that are in the Torah, the Levitical priesthood. He came to fulfill that. He was actually the Lamb. Remember, Elkanah said, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim who takes away the sins of the world." He was the Lamb slayed on the altar and was reckoned as a peace offering for the remission of sins for us. You know, and everybody who believes upon him and keeps his commandments, you know, shall be delivered and saved. Okay, so we know that. But we also know that, hey, it is an abomination if you continually to, like, that's how these churches, they continue to take offerings, they continue to do these things in which Yahushua came and fulfilled. So basically they're saying that Yahushua's sacrifice on the stake was not good enough, is that they still have to atone for sins by doing these sacrificial offerings. But if they're doing sacrificial offerings, that means that they need a high priest. Because we have a high priest. Remember, the high priest used to enter once a year into the set-apart place with blood to sprinkle atonement for the people. But what Yahushua did is he sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat in Shemaim for our sins. And we believe in that. But a lot of people don't believe in that, and so the Ashkenazi Jews, they're continually to do these sacrifices in which they need a high priest. Okay, this is where it gets interesting, is who actually is their high priest. Their high priest is Hillel, you know, which the Latin Vulgate translate Lucifer, the one that masquerades like a messenger of light. Hashatan, the adversary, who we talked about a couple weeks ago, drew a third of the host of Shemaim that Yahuwah, in Shemaim that Yahuwah originally created as the messenger. He drew a third of them away. Okay? This is who they worship, and this is who they're getting ready for. Now, Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now, the 7 years left in this prophecy is basically split into two sections. You have the first 3.5 years, then you have the last 3.5 years, 42 months, okay? The last 3.5 years you have, which is what people call, you know, the Great Tribulation. This is kind of common enough. You have the Great Tribulation, okay? Because it says, in the middle of the week, they shall put an end to the slaughters in the mill office. So the Ashkenazi Jews right now, this is getting interesting right here. This is getting interesting. Okay, now, pause. We want to pause right there. We want to get your notes ready. This is. I'm getting excited. I'm getting hype over here. Okay, now, this is the characteristics of he. Remember the prophecy said, and he shall confirm a covenant with many. Now, this is the trickery right here, because once you understand the people, and once you understand what Ezekiel prophesied to, you understand what Daniel prophesied to, and what he told, and what Yahuwah told Abraham. Now, a lot of people, I've seen prophecies where they say actually that's the Messiah coming to confirm the covenant that he has with Yisrael. But that's not true. Okay, remember how Satan does everything opposite of what Yahuwah does. So in May 14th, 1948, what actually happened is the evil force, the guiding spirits of evil basically tried to pronounce that land in which Yahuwah gave to the seed, to the seeds of Abraham, that evil spirit tried to pronounce that land unto the synagogue of Hasatan. So basically, that evil forces tried to annul what Yahuwah originally said, who that land was. That's what they did. They came in and they lied, and they tried to pronounce that land, you know, to the synagogue of Satan. That's what they tried to do. Okay, now this future prophecy says that he, whoever he is, will come and confirm the covenant. Not confirming the covenant that was originally given to Yahuwah, to Abraham, in the seed, in his true seed, but he will confirm, Hasatan will try to confirm the false prophecy of May 14th, 1948, in which they falsely lied and said that land is theirs. He will come and confirm a covenant with many, not only them, but possibly the because when you're looking at where it says with many, all who are many, because he won't confirm a covenant with us, not the people who keep the commandments of Yahuwah and have the testimony of Yahusha. He will confirm the covenant with many, all who are many, all these sinners in different religions, Christians, Muslims, Jews, but mainly Jews, confirming this covenant that land belongs to these wicked, abominable sinners. And that is a slap in the face, because the seals haven't been broken. But imagine how Yahuwah will feel for the evil forces to come and pronounce and to try to reverse the covenant that he originally gave to Abraham and his seed and to his seeds, that land that he gave us an inheritance, that he created that into which was given to us, and the evil forces come and say, no, this is all given to the Gentiles, and this is given into all these wicked sinners who blaspheme his name all day, who spit in their face, who do all this abominable works like these sacrifices and all this, and they do all this. Imagine how you will feel. And that's when, at that point, when this happens, this is when the seals and revelations begin to break, and Yahusha begins to open these seals. Who's the person who has the only person who has the authority to open these seals is Yahusha. He begins to open these seals. And this is where you have the things begin to break off and jump off, and you have the ending in the seventh seal of the day of Yahuwah. Now, we're going to break Daniel 9:27 down, and it says, and he, we're going to talk about who he is. Okay? You go to Daniel 11. Daniel 11 and 36. It said, and the sovereign shall do as he pleases, and exalts himself, and shows himself to be great above every mighty one, and to speak incredible matters against El and the mighty ones, of the mighty ones. Okay? He shall speak incredible matters against the El of mighty ones. Okay, who is the El of mighty ones? Yahushua. El of Mighty Ones is Yahushua, through the esteem of Yahuwah the Father. The El of Mighty Ones, he shall speak blasphemies against. Okay, now pause right here, and go to. We're gonna scripture search right here. We're gonna do some scripture search. Okay, go to Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians. Man, this is exciting right here. 2 Thessalonians, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3. It says, Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away comes first, and the man of lawlessness, or the son of perdition, is to be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim or is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Okay? Remember that he said that, the day that he will sit in the temple, he will proclaim himself to be Elohim, he will exalt himself above all that is called Elohim. Okay, now pause right there. Still hold your finger on Daniel 11. Now we're going to go to Revelation 13. Woo! Hey, we ain't finished yet. Hey, just warming up. We got the icing on the cake in a minute, man. You just hold on. Okay, so when you go to Revelation 13, so when we study the scriptures, we do line upon line, precept upon precept. Revelation 13, verse 5. Okay, let's start at 4. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to fight with him? And he was given a mouth to speak great matters and blasphemies, and he was given authority to do so for 42 months. Okay, 42 months is 3.5 years. 42 months, 3.5 years. So we know that the last 7 years of this prophecy is split into 3.5 years. 3.5 plus 3.5 gives you 7. Okay? I'm talking about, man, do you understand how powerful it is? The last 7 years known to mankind in this age is when he, the anti-Messiah, or people call it, we don't want to say the word, Or when he comes and confirms the false covenant in which that land in which Yahuwah gave to Abraham and his seed to his seed, and he confirms that covenant with many, to all these wicked sinners, all these Gentiles, that the end of the prophecies began to start. Okay, look. He has a mouth to speak great matters and blasphemies, and he shall be given authority to do so for 42 months, 3.5 years. And open his mouth in the blasphemies against Elohim, to blaspheme his name and his tent. And his tent and the dwelling in heaven. Okay? So we just read in Thessalonians that, hey, Shaul understood this prophecy. He understood that because a lot of people were saying, oh, the day of Yahuwah is coming, the day of Yahuwah is right now. But he said, hey, these things have to happen first. These things have to happen first before, the coming of Yahushua. Okay? So the anti-Messiah, which we just read in Daniel 9:27, he will speak great flatteries and blasphemies against Yahuwah, Yahusha, and the dwelling place of the Shemayim and the set apart one. He will speak great blasphemies. He will even call himself to be Elohim. This is what we're dealing with, okay? Go back to Daniel 11. Okay, I'm excited right here, man. Let's go back up to verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And then we're going to read down. Okay. And by flatteries, this is the same he mentioned in Daniel 9:27. This is the same he. This is the same he. Okay. And it says, and by flatteries, he shall profane those who do wrong against the covenant. Okay, what covenant he talking about? He's talking about that. Okay, look. By flatteries, he shall profane those who do wrong against the covenant. But the people who know their Elohim shall be strong and shall act. Okay, so it's some people that's living in these future days and people that's living now who know their Elohim. Meaning they know Yahuwah, they know Yahusha is the sovereign. They know Yahusha is the sovereign. They know that, hey, the covenant was given to us. The covenant was given to us. Okay, and we're not going to be profaned by those forces of evil. We're not going to be profaned by that because we're not, just like in the Maccabee period, when they was making them do all the abominations to eat pork, you know, these people started getting profaned because they couldn't take the pressure, they couldn't take the persecution, so they was being profaned. But the people who knew, just like in the Maccabees, the people who knew the Elohim, who knew the covenant, who knew, hey, I'm not sinning against the covenant he gave it to us. He gave, you know, even the sign of the Sabbath, you know, not even to profane the Sabbath, because he gave us the Sabbath and we're not going to profane it, you know, things like that. And they knew their Elohim, and they did mighty acts and strong acts. And that's how it's going to be in these days, that people who know their Elohim, who know Yahuwah, who know his son, Yahusha, that they're going to do mighty, mighty deeds and act and shall act. And those of the people who have insight shall give understanding to many. And they shall stumble by the sword and flame and captivity and plunder for days. And when they stumble, they shall be helped, a little help, but they shall join them by flatteries. And some of those who have insight shall stumble to refine them, to cleanse them, and to make them white until the time of the end, for it is for an appointed time. Okay? And the sovereign shall do as he please. This is the he again in Daniel 9:27. And he exalts him and shows himself to be great above every mighty one, and speak incredible matters against the isle of the mighty ones, and shall prosper until the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been decreed shall be done. Okay? Now, what has been decreed for the anti-Messiah? What has been decreed for the anti-Messiah and the false prophet? What has been decreed? These things we got to understand. You know what I'm saying? Because we will be living in a time where we will see the anti-Messiah, the false prophet, speak incredible matters against Yahuwah. I mean, these abominable lies that they are saying. Like, it's so crazy to look at these things. Even like the video I looked at today, it's just so crazy. And I mean, it almost makes you infuriated, the incredible matters that their anti-Messiah spirit, the Ashkenazi spirit, the Christian spirit, that they're speaking against Yahuwah, the incredible matters. Okay? So look, but what is decreed, what has been decreed, and what shall be done against them? Okay? And we'll read it. Revelation 19:20. Revelation 19:20, and it says the beast, the anti-Messiah, was seized, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he led astray those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of burning fire and with sulfur, and the rest were killed with the sword which came out of the mouth of him. Who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Okay? So remember, this is the grand deception, is understanding who the people are, because number one, if you don't understand who the people are, people will be deceived. You don't understand who the people are. You know, the people who were taken from, who dispersed from the land of Yisrael and dispersed into all parts of Africa and were taken on fun ships out of Africa until here. Now we dwell here in America. People dwell in different all across the four corners of the earth. Understanding who they are, not because the prophecy they're saying. Think about what they're saying. They're saying May 14, 1948, that Jehovah fulfilled his prophecy and to bring the people into the land and back into the land of Jerusalem. According to the scriptures, the only time that's going to happen is when the king, Yahushua, the Messiah, comes with his set of problems. That's when that's prophesied to happen. But until then, if somebody says that prophecy has been fulfilled, they have lied. So that's what happened on May 14, 1948. So this is what's decreed, back to this subject, this is what's decreed upon the anti-Messiah, the beast, and the false prophet. So what you have to understand, that's why we have to tell people right now who the two witnesses coming. Look out for Enoch and Eliyahu, because a lot of people will believe that they are the anti-Messiah and the false prophet. That's what they will believe, because when we speak truth to them, that's what it looks like. Oh, you tell them JC is not real. JC is the false Messiah, and they look at you like you're crazy. And that's what we're dealing with, and that's what's going on. So we go back to Daniel 11, and it says, look, verse 37, that's what we decreed on him. And it said, and have no regard for the mighty ones of his fathers, nor desire of woman, nor have regard of any mighty ones, but exalt himself above them all. Okay. So basically what you're going to have here is he's going to give favor and different things to the people that profane the covenant, basically profane what Yahuwah had pronounced. So anybody that basically wants to sin against the Torah, sin against the words of the commandments, you know, he will look favor upon it. Of course, that's what the anti-Messiah wants to do. He wants to promote lawlessness. So anybody that's going to do that, he's going to, you know, favor with them. So going back, and we're talking about Daniel 9:27, and he, being the anti-Messiah, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. In the middle of the week. Now, we just talked about, I just told you about my wife, that they're doing the sacrifice, Ashkenazi doing the sacrifice. Now, this is where it gets very interesting, okay? Now, we're going to get into some real information. Some real information, then we're going to relate it back to the scriptures. I hope I ain't lose you. Now, the director of the Theological Society, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, was created in 1875 by Madame Villanovsky. Okay? It was created by her. Now, the director of it, his guy's name was Bill Lambert. I shared this before. But a guy named Bill Lambert, who was one of the planners of the NWO, New World Order, and was part of the New Jerusalem Covenant Project, which basically was an agenda to get the Christian, Muslim, and Jews all together. Now, what they don't know, okay, Bill Lambert, this guy was one of the top people in this plan, in his planning of these things, okay? They don't know that they had a human plan basically in the cooperation with these evil spirits, guiding spirits to establish the New World Order. And their plan, but their plan actually fulfills the other side of Revelations. And that's what they don't know. So, but what this guy was saying, and he followed the teachings of Madame of Valensky, in which we talked about last week how Jay-Z, basically all these, this is pretty much this New Age thing and all these things is pretty much the hierarchy of what the anti-Messiah is the breed that's coming out of, the breed of Christianity and all that stuff, okay? Now, the plans that he revealed, because you got to understand that this guy doesn't necessarily believe, he doesn't believe in the scriptural prophecy of the anti-Messiah. It's kind of the reverse psychology, like, you know how we look at, you know, JC as being anti-Messiah, but they believe that, you know, JC and the Maitreya person is the Messiah. That's what they believe, you know, so... They also believe that the Pope is a great ambassador for these things, you know. And we know the Pope, he on some other stuff, but they believe, hey, the Pope is, you know, on point, and pretty much, you know, he's the leader of the Baptist. But what these plans revealed is, he said that the Pope would basically introduce people unto the worship of the anti-Messiah. Okay? He would introduce the worship to people into the anti-Messiah. He would be like a kind of like a forerunner to get people to worship the anti-Messiah and to basically point people to this. And so we want to talk about this, the beast, the anti-Messiah, and the false prophet. And then the false prophet is the one who causes, organizes, and gets people to receive the mark of the beast as worship to the anti-Messiah. And this is important. We talked about the anti-Messiah means against, in place of, or instead of the Messiah. And we know that name to be which people, you know, erroneously call who people call, I don't even like saying the name, but I'll spell it, J-E-S-U-S, and that's what they call their name. And we know that in Greek, Chi Psi Sigma 666, and in Hebrew, Sus, S-U-S, and, you know, comes out, you know, 666. So, this is the name of the anti-Messiah, JC, that's the name of the anti-Messiah, who is in place of, instead of, the true name, the true Messiah, Yahushua, the Messiah. You know, the image of the blind eyes, the long hair, the, you know, European look, even down to that image, okay? Now, what you have here, we're going to connect all this, Daniel 9:27, all this all together, look. So what you have here is when we go to Revelation 13, I've never seen it like this, but just look at it like this. Look at this. You have two major players. You have the beast, the anti-Messiah, and the false prophet. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Okay, remember the first beast, he was given a mouth to do great matters and blasphemy, and he was given authority to do so for 42 months. Out of his mouth he said blasphemies against Elohim and to blaspheme his name. That's a good point right there. To blaspheme his name. What does the name JC do? The name JC blasphemes the name Yahushua. And what does the word blasphemy mean? It means to insult to insult. They put the name JC in the scriptures, and it insults Yahushua. You're talking about Yahushua who dwells, who the Father gave him his name pronounced in heaven, and which it was such a joyous event, and Yahushua ben Nun had the name, and the name was given, I mean, it was given into which Gabriel came and delivered to Miriam and said, he shall be called Yahushua, for he shall save his people from his sins. This was his name, and forced to be replaced with JC. I mean, it blasphemes his name. So imagine the person, the false Messiah, the Hashatan, dwelling within an individual, proclaiming himself that he is the Messiah unto who died for people's sins, and his name is JC. He blasphemes the name. He blasphemes his name. He blasphemes his name. Okay? Now, Revelation 13:11, I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he caused the earth to worship. I want to pause. Pause right there. I'm sorry. I'm pausing right here. When we go back up to verse 8, and it says, all those who dwell on earth, whose name is not written in the book of life of the slain lamb from the foundation of the world shall worship him. Okay? Now we're going to show you who this he is going all the way back to Daniel. Because Revelation 13 is almost split. Remember, it's 3.5 years. So you have the first couple of verses talking about the first 3.5 years, and then you talk about, you have the last couple of verses from basically Revelation 13 through 18 talking about the last 3.5 years. Now, back to what I was saying, verse 12, it says, he exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence, and he caused the earth and those who dwell on earth, dwell on it, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth before men. And he leads astray those dwelling on earth because of the signs which he was given to do before the beast, saying to those who dwell on earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword yet lived. And there was given to him to give the spirit to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause to be killed and to kill those as many who would not worship the image of the beast. Now, this is very tricky because a lot of people say, oh, well, what is the beast? The beast is referred to the person who they were just talking about from Revelation 13, verse 1 through 10. Remember, the beast, or him, he was speaking great blasphemies against Elohim in his tent and blaspheming his name and those who dwell in heaven. This is the beast. This is the person who's doing this. So the second person, the second person, comes and gets people to worship the first person who was doing all these abominations, blaspheming his name, and doing all these things. It's kind of like a cycle. The second person, the second beast, comes and gets people to worship the first beast. Okay? And the first beast is him. It was him who was blaspheming the name. This is the same person who is going to what? Make the covenant in Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Okay? So, it's making sense. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So, it's making sense. Now, so the second beast is going to come and get people to worship the first beast. Now, here, you got to get this. This is the actual indicator right here. We just talked about how they're actually doing sacrifices and all these things. The sacrifices the sacrifices, because they're saying, hey, we need, you know, we're still waiting for the Messiah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now, what's going to happen is we know, according to the scriptures, that, hey, we don't have to do the, you know, sacrifices because, you know, Yahushua fulfilled all these prophecies. However, the false prophet, the second beast, will come and get people to worship the first beast because he will say that the first beast has fulfilled these things, has now fulfilled these things, therefore there is no need to furthermore do the sacrifices in which they feel like the Messiah now is there. So the second beast will get people to worship the first beast, who is, quote-unquote, the anti-Messiah. Now look, this is what it says, and I'm only reading what the scripture says, not trying to put your own, my own thoughts in it. Look, it says, and there was given to him, this is the second beast. And remember, both of these beasts are referred to as people. Okay? Both of these beasts are referred to as people. Okay? It says, and there was given to him to give the spirit to the image of the beast. The image of the beast was the first person, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause to be killed as many as would not worship the image of the beast. And he causes all, both small and great. This, who is he? He is the second beast, false prophet. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand, upon their forehead. And that no one should be able to buy or sell except that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? So the false prophet, he gets people to worship, to receive the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast of the first individual beast that was speaking blasphemies against the temple and all that. And so it makes sense. It makes so much sense. Is that the false prophet, beast number two, will get people to receive the number 666. He will get people to try to receive JC. This is what it is. Is the name of the beast. Is, we already know that the name of the beast, here is wisdom, that he understand, calculate the number of man, so it's 666. A number of a man. So the first 3.5 years is a man who has a number. The first 3.5 years is a man who has a number. And that number is 666. So the second beast comes and gets people to worship that first beast, whose number is 666 and whose name is Jesus. And they get people to receive that mark. So these two people, the false prophet and the anti-Messiah, working together. Because we talk about because I always thought it was in reverse. You had the first prophet first, and then you had the anti-Messiah. But it's almost according to the scriptures and how the language is used in the scriptures. You have the anti-Messiah first, and then you have the false prophet. Because even when you read Revelation 16 and 13, it says, and I said, coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the, so you had the dragon first, and out of the mouth of the beast, which is the anti-Messiah, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits as frogs. And they are the spirits of demons, doing signs which they go under the sovereigns of the entire world to gather them into battle with the great day of Yahuwah, the Almighty. So, closing it up, even when you go back to evidence about these Madeline Belinsky and the Bill Lambert, the people who planned these evil things, they said that the Pope would be the receptor, the person basically introducing the world unto the anti-Messiah, and he would get people unto worship the anti-Messiah, and the anti-Messiah will be the one who proclaims himself to be El. So these things, these people people, these two evil spirits will be working in close encounter with each other, but we know that Enoch and Eliyahu will come and tell the world that this is the anti-Messiah who came into the world to do signs and wonders in order to deceive. So, I mean, this is magnificent, man. Yahuwah is showing us these great and awesome things, man, that this is what's coming upon the world, is that they're lying. They have lied. May 14, 1948 was a lie. They have lied, so the anti-Messiah will come and try to confirm a false covenant that was given unto the synagogue of Hashatan, basically further deceiving the people into believe that they are the ones who received the actual covenant from Yahuwah given to Abraham. That's what it is. The anti-Messiah will do that, and then the false prophet will come, introduce the people to anti-Messiah, and get people to receive the mark of his name. That's what it is, man. So, hey, man, you listening to the Poetic Energy Network station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. Hey, man, I hope you had a great time, man, and continue to research, continue to do your study, continue to show yourself approved, man, that we may be worthy to escape those things that come upon the world. Because, I mean, we could be, I mean, who knows? Who knows? I mean, this could be the year that the actual, we talked about last week, we talked about London Olympics. We talked about some things possibly going down. We talked about the, you know, all the significance of the things in London and who they call Maitreya actually dwell, you know, lives or whatever in London. And that thing's going to be going down. So you're talking about a lot of things that are brewing that if he, like in Daniel 9:27 is fulfilled, if he confirms a covenant with many, a lawless covenant with many sinners and abominable people about that land, about the Middle East, about the great river Euphrates, and all the way to the Mizraim, that if this false covenant is confirmed, then we have something on our hands. So we're talking about that this thing could possibly break out this year, and you're talking about the scriptures, Revelation, everything began to be fulfilled, and the seals began to be broken this year. It's very intimidating, but also it's also exciting because it was just saying when you see all these things begin to happen, lift your heads because your redemption draws near. So we have something to look forward to in the coming of Yahushua. So if these things do go down this summer or in late winter, because you remember that they said that we talked about a couple shows ago that they wanted to have this plan, this confirmed covenant, which they try to cloak, confirmed by December 2012. So if this thing goes down, you're talking about the last 7 years of the age known to mankind. So we have some things to watch out for, and the people you need to watch out for, man, is Obama. We need to watch the Pope, and we need to continue to watch about this thing about Maitreya, because, and then watching for the coming of the two witnesses, Enoch and Eliyahu, and understanding who they are and what their names is and what their ministry is. And we're going to have more on that. But, hey, man, you've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. Hey, man, we out of here this time, man. I hope you had a blessed one. We'll catch you next week, Yah willing. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. We out of here. Shalom.